Hey guys, it's not even recording. So I have singing the iCarly jingle in my head. I'm like,
right. Amazing.
Hey guys, this is Rivian Rundown. My name is Isaiah.
And I'm Zach.
And this is episode number 5, right?
Five. Yeah. Oh, man.
Time goes by fast. At some point, we're going to be at episode 15. I'm not going to know what number we're...
Yeah, we're going to be like, we're on episode 6, and it's really like 65.
All right, well, let's get into all of the Rivian news. This is pretty loaded, and we have some stories to share as well, but yep. We'll start this off by talking about Rivian's environmental initiatives. And so Rivian has released stats for the R1T and R1S Gen 2, the 2025 model year. Every year, Rivian releases a report for the R1T and R1S, respectively, for how much of a carbon footprint they leave. And it was quoted that the Gen 1 launch edition, R1T and R1S, had a 15% larger carbon footprint versus the Gen 2 R1T and R1S. Now, I don't want to seem like a Debbie Downer. However, I feel like, most of the... I shouldn't be saying this. I'm like totally like putting Rivian on blast and saying their stats aren't right. But the launch edition was a quad motor. It was made by Bosch. I'm always going to say that wrong. And then the Gen 2 is mainly the dual motor, which is made in-house. Less motors, more efficient. All around the board, I think we would likely see a similar decrease from the quad motor to the dual motor, Gen 1 even. But it's just good to see that Rivian is focusing on the environmental parts of the company.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's good that, you know, now they're, for lack of a better term, putting their money where their mouth is. Because they're always about, you know, being adventurous and being out in nature and, like, all this stuff. And they've done a pretty good job the past couple of years with their environmental stuff. Like, I was looking through a couple of their old reports, but... yeah, this is definitely a step in the right direction, and I agree with you too. Bringing everything in house and not relying on like third party companies for major components like the motors definitely helped that. The thing that I like the most about their initiative as well is that they launched the Rivian Foundation and funded the first $10 million worth of grants for this. So. Yeah, I guess a few years ago, Rivian like made a promise that like their that they would donate 1% of their equity to companies and things that make things more sustainable. And I'm reading this and like I can't. It's like figure out the words that I want to use.
We're giving up all live. Yes, this is not
scripted. Yeah. But yeah, basically they chose 10 companies and foundations and organizations that they're going to spread out this $10 million to. So obviously $1 million for each one. And the really cool thing is like a lot of them are, indigenous people. And I'm looking through all the websites right now and it's literally a lot of Native American indigenous organizations, the Open Space Institute. Oops, I didn't want to click on it. I just wanted to go through the slideshow. The Alliance for Tribal Clean Energy, which is really cool. Cal Wild, which is actually nice, California. Actually, a couple places in California, too. I think I saw that they're also donating to... where'd it go? The Laguna Canyon Foundation. So right where the Laguna Beach space is as well. So that's kind of nice. Nice little bonus. But yeah, you can check that out, rivianfoundation.org. And they have the report up there. They also talk about the mission of the foundation as well as all the companies and organizations that they're donating to. So, their environmental impact from the cars. And then they're also, because of that, giving back in addition to giving back to the environment, giving back to all these great organizations as well.
Yeah, this is... I think it really puts an emphasis on the original mission that I think these electric car companies in general should have from a sustainability standpoint, but also from an electric vehicle standpoint, right? The goal is to make vehicles that are more efficient, easier to build and produce than gas engines, internal combustion engine vehicles. And in turn, right, this just creates a overall more efficient vehicle in terms of the amount of energy it uses, right? And in energy, that's eventually going to turn into a larger carbon footprint, and also just making it cheaper for people to buy. And, you know, we see this. We haven't really gotten that great in the United States yet, but you see it elsewhere, especially places like China and Japan, where EVs are super duper cheap. And we slowly see that coming into the United States as well. And over time, you know, we will see this realization and this exponential change. But Rivian actually, alongside this, these, what do you call them, grants?
Yeah, that's a good way to describe them.
Okay. Alongside the grants, right? 10,000 miles, right, per R1T and R1S, new R1T and R1S. From now, that is sold, Rivian will buy solar panel, wind farm, and hydro power plant certificates, which pretty much cover the first 10,000 miles of your Rivian. And so in terms of the amount of energy that it would take during the first 10,000 miles. And what they're essentially doing is, right, I feel like I want to do this math in my head just to prove a point. But 10,000 miles, and then what is it, like I'll just put 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
Per kilowatt hour.
Roughly. Make it easy.
Yeah. So 4,000, so 4 megawatts, I'll just say that. 4 megawatts of driving energy, and I don't even, let's just imagine that's right. But point is, right, the amount of energy that you're using the first 10,000 miles, Rivian is buying for these plants, and they're able to take the money that Rivian gives them and able to expand these farms and able to have more investments that in turn lead to better environmental sustainable initiatives, right? I mean, the more solar panels, the better. The more wind farm turbines, the better, you know, things like that. They're able to increase efficiency with more money. So just in turn, this is really just part of their sustainable mission. And Rivian also released like a list of things that they want to accomplish in the company from a sustainability standpoint. So I'll even send this to you, Zach, because I said guys were doing this live, if you want to read some of this.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, Rivian wants to launch a product by 2030 with half the life cycle carbon footprint as the 2021 R1 products, right? And they've already reduced it by 15%. Normal Illinois manufacturing plant to run on 100% renewable energy on an annual basis and over 90% hourly carbon-free electricity by 2030. And then all other non-manufacturing facilities, so think service centers, spaces, offices, to run on 100% renewable electricity by 2030. Rivian charging networks to run on 100% renewable energy. And this is something that Rivian is doing now for the RAN network, level 2 and the DCFC. And then I'm going to give this to you, Zach, the last.
Oh, hold on, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
All right, well, what did you say?
I don't know. No, I was leaving the last three for you to read. I didn't want to, like, read the entire thing and just take over.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no worries. Sorry. Where are we? Oh, yeah. So they're also, Rivian's going to support 2 gigawatts of high-impact renewable energy by 2030. To support customer charging. So that's going to go directly into, you know, all the RAN chargers as well as all the waypoint chargers, which is really cool. They're going to increase the percentage of recycled materials in the vehicle, all the vehicles across all the lines. Minimum 70% recycled content in the steel and aluminum, or if you want to be fancy, aluminium by 2030 as well. And then finally, a minimum of 40% of recycled and bio-based content in the polymers, i.e. plastics, by 2030. So basically, a minimum of 70% of the outside of the car and a minimum of 40% of the trim and the inside of the car as well. So that's pretty great.
This is, I mean, again, the mission, you know, that the initial mission that I feel like, I'll be honest, Tesla kind of had in the very beginning of the company. And they don't really lay that out as much anymore, but it's important that we focus on, you know, the sustainable energy is a big part of it. And a lot of the energy we use and a lot of the carbon footprint that we leave is due to the production of energy. And I know we put so much emphasis on cars, but a lot of it, so much of it is energy, and even things like food and all that comes into turn of energy. So I'm glad that Rivian is doing something like this.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit. And
go ahead. No,
yeah, because I'm just reading through the website right now too, just kind of like flipping through it. I wonder how much the reason why they were able to do this and why they're making a big emphasis on this is because they reduced the amount of like parts and stuff that are in the cars as well.
Right. So,
and so they're just like, hey, this is a byproduct. We can like tout all of this. Like, not to say that they're sitting there being like, oh, we're going to be evil, greedy capitalists and, you know, destroy the earth. But like, you know, I don't, you know, I guess it would be kind of a 50-50, like, hey, we need to save costs in the, you know, building these vehicles and the Gen 2s and all of that. And then, you know, on the flip side, like, we need to figure out a way to, you know, reduce our carbon footprint. And then it just kind of like worked hand in hand. And so then that way they can tout that they're doing all of this. And then, you know, all the cost savings that they're getting from building the Gen 2s and, you know, all of that, then they leads into like the foundation and buying all the carbon credits and like all that stuff. So it's really interesting to see what they're doing and how they're doing it. So
it goes hand in hand. I mean, they're a for-profit company at the end of the day. So
yeah, we exactly. To realize depends on who you ask, because they're not making a profit.
They're a non-profit right now. Yeah.
They're not for-profit.
Okay, that was really, they're trying to be a for-profit company.
Yeah.
But I think another
Sorry, example, I had to.
No, it was perfect. No, that was like the perfect, that was like an easy layup. Like
yeah, exactly.
That was perfect. No, but Rivian, Rivian did their, I guess, partnered with a few, I would say, quote, suburban mom Instagrams and family Instagrams, and for Children Passenger Safety Awareness Week, they, I guess, gave all of these influencers Rivians to test out and make content with, you know, kind of talking about Passenger Safety Awareness Week. And you watch it, it's definitely about passenger safety, right? Rivian made a whole article about it.
Yeah.
Definitely about selling the car. Okay. They were like, oh, you know, the spacious front to put all of my kids' things and these easy slide forward seats and all the space in this electric vehicle. It was clearly like, well, of course it's sponsored. And again, Rivian is a trying to be for profit company. And, you know, while it's great to see, I mean, regardless, right, their company, but it's good to see them still be involved in these things, whether it is, you know, sustainable energy or making awareness of, you know, children passenger safety, because even at the end of the day, they're trying to make a buck off of it, it still provides awareness of it. So
For sure.
But yeah, that's really it for the environmental side of things. Kind of an interesting start, but let's talk about the outposts, talking about, right, some of these service centers and other spaces that Rivian will be providing renewable energy for. We have a new outpost coming in Southampton. I don't understand why it's Southampton. So let me go on a little tangent here. It's the Hamptons, right? Yep. The last letter of South is H. Now you would think because this location is in the Hamptons, it's Southampton. But no, it's Southampton. There's no H in front of the A, so it's just Southampton. I noticed that. That kind of ticked me off. Anyway, we're having a new space.
I'm going to get off on the tangent slightly. Because Southampton is a town in Ireland, the UK, somewhere over there. And so, you know, when the settlers came over from the UK and all of that, and one of the places that they migrated to was New York. And so, you know, maybe they didn't know how to spell, or somebody was writing it down and they're like, Southampton, and they didn't put the H.
Make this sound.
And then fun fact, Southampton is where the Titanic set sail from on its last voyage. Voyage. Anyway, we're talking about Rivian and spaces, not shipwrecks.
Which is funny enough, kind of in the news again right now. Anyway.
That's a completely different story, and I can go on about that, but we will not do that.
I'm having fun. The Rivian, new Southampton Rivian space. Currently, it is a patio.com store. And what Rivian is doing is right there. I know, right? It's like, what? Patio.com. I haven't checked. It's either the end of the lease or they're buying it from them. But what the patio.com building, everything from the exterior to layout is pretty similar to the plans that Rivian currently had for their permit. And it will just turn into a RAN station. So there will be 6 dispensers for Rivian Adventure Networks, Rivian to charge. And I imagine, right, other EVs. And then it's a place where you can eat, you know, snacks, buy snacks, drink, get coffee, get water, replenish, use the bathroom. There's seating, there's Wi-Fi. You can buy Rivian merch. Did I mention there are bathrooms? You know, it's just like a gas station for Rivian.
It's a fancy gas station.
Yeah, it's a really fancy gas station in the Hamptons,
makes it even more fancy.
Yeah, what one wealthy area.
Yes.
And I don't know. People say that people go there for road trips a lot, like it's traveling to the area.
Yeah.
And so it was, I guess, we're saying that it's a good space for people to stop by, or people who live in the area can now stop by here and see Rivian and makes them more interested. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, when I saw that news, I thought it was a very interesting choice. And then, like, because the Hamptons are more, you know, you go up there and you go to somebody's house for a dinner party, or you go play golf, or you go do, you know, Southampton or Hamptons things. You know, so like to make it an outpost is an interesting move, considering where the one outpost is now, where the next one that's opening is going to be, and then this is going to be the third one. And it's just kind of like, I get that you're trying to increase brand awareness, especially in that region, because like the Northeast is not very Rivian heavy. And that was made very apparent to me as well, because the guy that put on the California Overland Adventure and Power Sports show, the Bay Area Rivian Club was a vendor at, or we had a booth at. Guy lived in Connecticut, and he never even like saw Rivian until like I called him to ask if we can have a space. And then he didn't even know, like, he'd heard of Rivian, but he didn't even know like that you can go overlanding and off-roading with them. So
interesting. Okay.
It's interesting that it's going, that this outpost is going to be in the Hamptons for that exact reason as well. Like,
it's, you know, a space.
At the end of the day, it's a really fancy space with like some trail mix and a Gear Gary doll.
Yeah, I'm a conundrum. Friend Sapan, I'm bad with the names. Anyway, he lives in Washington, D.C., right? The D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, DMV, right? Is that?
Yep.
Okay. He lives in that area, and, you know, he's mentioned to me that, like, there are not a lot of, and that's one of the, I think, the larger Rivian groups, the Mid-Atlantic Rivian branch, and Rivian Club. But he mentions, like, there really aren't a crazy amount of Rivians out there, even though how dense the group is.
Yeah.
But Rivian does not pay much attention to that area at all. We're not seeing any R2 tours in that area. we have no Rivian spaces in that area. It's very dry.
Well, I mean, the R2's in New York right now, or the R3.
New York, yeah. But I guess a little more south, right? Towards...
Yeah, like D.C., that area is about, what, 2.5-3 hours south?
So more of those more rural, like, you know, of course they're focusing on New York, and we have more to talk about New York. They're kind of winning this week. but those, I guess those more, I wouldn't even call it rural, but more some outskirt cities, those not as large. They're spending so much time on New York, which is, they think, all right, this is the East Coast right here. We got New York. That's it.
Yeah. Everybody goes to New York. Here you
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Everyone goes to New York. We'll just put it for the East Coast for New York.
Everything is a suburb of New York on the East Coast.
Yeah. Everyone just drive up here. But it's, I think maybe spreading out of New York needs more attention.
Yeah. I mean, the Hamptons are, you know, a good distance from New York City. So, I mean, it's nice that they're showing love to the region. But yeah, I agree with that as well. Like, there are more, like, the further south you get from the Northeast, the more Rivians you will see. Because... Yeah. It's more adventure-y down that way as opposed to city-esque. So
Rivian's just got a market.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and how they utilize the space, pun intended. And just you know, like I said, based on the other outposts that they're building and have existing, it's just an interesting choice.
For sure.
To brand as an outpost, let's put it that way.
Versus just a what? Just a space or a...
Yeah, like a really fancy space. Like, they could have... Like, I get it. Like, it's an internal brand, if you will. So, like, you have the space, which is more like a showroom. Like, your traditional, like, what Tesla and Lucid and Polestar and VinFast. Like, all of them have a space, right? So it's an upgraded space, so they call it an outpost, because it's basically you can stop there and charge and get snacks, buy merch, you know, things like that. So I get it. Like, I understand the branding of it, but, like, I don't know. Something just didn't sit with me right.
Maybe it's not adventure-y enough. It's just not. It's not.
It's not.
It's not like, we have one coming to Joshua Tree, right?
Yep.
One coming to Tahoe, which is kind of unconfirmed, yep. But Rivian released a map of where all the spaces would be, and a Rivian employee told me that it was going to be Tahoe, Rivian space. And you'll see on the map that Tahoe is selected. And then Yosemite, which we have Groveland, which is open now, and that seems to have some great attention, which... We'll go back to New York in a second. You were at Groveland the other day.
Well, yeah, about a month ago. I mean, it feels like the other day. But yeah, about a month ago, I received an email from somebody at Rivian asking if I wanted to, or if I knew anybody that... wanted to go out to the Groveland Outpost to do a story for ABC News. So ABC has it's basically an online magazine, if you will, where they do like 2 to 5 minute stories on things going on in a community. And if you go on their Instagram or their website, local-ish, .com, I believe it is, or like localish on Instagram. You can see like, you know, 30-second clips of like basically what they cover. But anyway, they wanted to cover the Groveland Outpost and talk about like the history behind it, why Rivian built one there, and then where I kind of played into it, and another fellow Rivian owner, shout out to Josh if you're listening, was they wanted to see what it meant to Rivian owners, and to see, you know, how, you know, if we like what impact it has on us as Rivian drivers, and what it means to us that Rivian is doing things like what they did in Groveland, where they took the old blacksmith shop and, you know, it was an old gas station that hadn't been used in 30 years and things like that, and, you know, turned it into this space where you can come and charge your car and hang out and, you know, get snacks and coffee and buy merch. And, you know, it's literally in the middle of downtown Groveland. And so, which is really an historic town as well. I walked around a little bit up and down the main street there, and it has the oldest saloon in the state of California, which is really cool. If you're ever there, go into it. It's called the Iron Door, I believe. And look up at the ceiling. I won't give it away, but it's pretty crazy. But everybody was really super cool in the town. Everybody that worked at the outpost was super awesome. I got to hang out a little bit with Bran, who's the outpost manager. Super great guy. His entire staff was really cool too. Their names escape me at the moment. It's a beautiful space too. Like, it's very clean. It's very modern, but rustic at the same time. It's next to a really awesome ice cream shop. The shop hand makes their own ice cream. It's actually a retired LA police officer, I think they said it was. So, like, he retired, lives in Groveland, and makes ice cream now. And it's delicious. They have, like, a blood orange chocolate chip ice cream. Oh, my God. And then the really cool thing is that they're trying to do a lot of, like, local events and give back to the community as well. So I was talking to Bran, the manager, and he wants to get, like, local musicians to come in and play. Josh, the other guy that's in the video with me that lives in Groveland, is actually a chef and was a chef in New York for a few years. And he actually has the Thunderbolt Adventure Supply camp kitchen in his R1T. And so they're probably going to get together and he's going to do like cooking demonstrations on the camp kitchen, which I want to go see, cause that's going to be awesome. There's a local coffee roaster that's in Groveland that they roast their own coffee there. They're actually partnering with the coffee roaster to make a special Rivian blend that they're only going to sell out at the outpost. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then, of course, in the outpost as well, they have all the normal standard fare for like Rivian merch. They have the Keep Groveland Adventurous shirts and mugs. The shirt is brown. And the mugs are the dark green, the forest green, I believe. So just to kind of give everybody the heads up. They do have something really cool. Let me go grab this really quick.
Yeah.
They are actually the only Rivian outpost or space that has their own patch.
Wow.
And it says Groveland, California, Gateway to Yosemite. And then Rivian at the bottom.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I really like the design of it too. Like, it's really, really neat.
Yeah, the sign almost. The colors and the it reminiscent of a.
It's very national park esque. Yeah. So, it's really cool, and they have a. It was really neat. So basically, yeah, drove out there. It was about 2.5 hour drive for me from where I'm at in the Bay Area, and never been out there before, never been to Yosemite. I didn't go because it was about 20 minutes down the road and I was pretty much there like all day. Awesome reporter, his name was Tim, and he asked me about 4 or 5 questions. Obviously they only used one just because of the way he put the story together. Did the same thing for Josh, and then we just kind of stirred around and he shot some B-roll of us, and then he said, he's like, all right, I'm gonna go get some drone shots, you guys are done. so we left. But it's really cool. So the package he put together and the story, it's about 3.5-4 minutes long, and it's on their website now. We'll link it in the description, and then also if you check out my Twitter account, I do have a link on there as well. I pop up at about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, like talking. You can see my R1T in the background for most of it, which is pretty cool. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It looks, the video is very well done.
Yeah.
At least I admitted to Zach that I like watched the beginning and then immediately skipped to his part because I just wanted to watch what he had to say.
Yep.
But it's, the video is very well done, and yeah, it will be in the description. But the concept of spaces, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, right, we just talked about Hampton, Southampton. God, what a name. Yeah, we just talked about the Southampton outpost, but as a whole, I mean, do you think this is something that Ravine can scale, and how hard was it to charge there? Because I know it's like six stalls, right? There's a trailer, is there a trailer spot?
Technically, it can be a trailer spot. I mean, it's a really small footprint for six chargers. At any given time that I was there, I was parked closest one to the street, so because it was the one on the end. At any given time, kind of towards, I got there early afternoon, like around 1 o'clock, and there was nobody there. But kind of like mid afternoon, it picked up a little bit, and there was like two or three cars charging at a time. Okay. I did see a Compass Yellow R1S, which was awesome.
Okay. Bring my Compass Yellow.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a little tight in there. So there's three chargers on one side and then three kind of on the other side. So if two cars are trying to leave at the same time, obviously it's not going to work very well, but it was all right. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to get as busy that all six are going to be, or is it five? Was it five or is it six? Six or five?
Chargers? Dispensers?
Yeah.
I think it's six.
Okay. Sure it's six. I don't remember. Anyway.
I haven't been there. I just looked at the map, you know.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I can probably just peek at the photos really quick. I actually shot a video of it as well, just kind of standing outside. So let me see. It's one, two, three. It's five. Okay. So there's two in front of the building, like immediately when you walk out of the building, and then there's three across from it. So yeah, it's I mean, it's not as tight as it seems, but yeah, there were, here, I'll hold this up so you can see it. Like, those are the three, and then there's two more spaces kind of like where I'm standing this way.
Okay.
Or sorry, this way, because that's my truck. I'm on the end. There's that yellow R1S. That's Josh's truck. And then there's another space facing, like, you pull in this way here, and then there's one next to it.
Okay.
So, and you can kind of see it in this photo. Like, there's the green R1T, and then there's the green R1T, and then there's my truck, and then there's another space next to it. Yeah. So.
Every jog my memory. Yeah, definitely send me those so I can show them on screen.
Yeah, I'll send you the video that kind of like gives an over, like I just kind of stood in the driveway and just kind of shot from the driveway.
That's awesome, man.
But yeah, so that was cool. Yeah, it took them about 3 weeks to put that together, so it was neat to be a part of that. I'm really happy I did it, and got to tell a little piece of Rivian history.
Yeah, that is the first outpost, and who knows where it'll be. You know, Rivian might revolutionize the electric station.
Yeah, I did learn something really interesting. So even though they have a Gen 2 R1S there, they're technically not allowed to give test drives.
Really?
So, like, they can't even park it on the property, because if they park it on the property, then that means that they have the intent to do test drives. Mm-hmm. So that's why you will always see that R1S parked in the street.
I wondered that. Yeah, it's always so far, like, off.
Yeah.
It's in front of it, but it's not in the parking lot. It's,
yeah, it, like, they have, like, a little, like, portal, if you will, on the side facing the street. And that's where they used to have it parked, but I guess they got in trouble. So now it sits on the street in front of that.
Aren't U.S. laws weird? the sales to thing. Sales.
But see, the funny thing is, it's just like Groveland or whatever county it's in, like that won't let them do it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's the car culture of, I want to say, back to dealerships. They've lobbied and they have this culture of which certain rules need to be abided for these cities and counties to be satisfied at the end of the day.
But. Yeah, I mean, look at all the stupid leasing laws and stuff out in like the Midwest and all that. Like, it's so dumb.
It's like 25 states out of the 50 that you can lease a Rivian in. And I think some of them you're legally allowed to, but a Rivian hasn't opened there yet. But there's a handful of them that's just impossible to do so. But,
yeah. Speaking of Outpost, though, and kind of getting off all the political and stupidity, I'm actually really looking forward to the Joshua Tree Outpost as well. Like, that's supposed to be opening towards the end of this year.
Really?
And Joshua Tree, first off, is like gorgeous. And it's one of my favorite like national parks. So to have a Rivian Outpost there, it's going to be awesome. So like, it's going to be like a RAN station, an outpost, and they're going to be able to, I think they said they were going to be able to sell cars there too. Did I read that right?
I know it's a lot bigger. If you look at the footprint.
Yeah. It's like twice the size of the Groveland one.
It's pretty big. And they have more like, they've had the plant, the permit that they showed, there were more spots to put Rivians down for like demo drives and like viewing purposes. So
yeah,
they're ready for it.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. Like, it's in a great location in Joshua Tree too, like right near the entrance to the park. And, I really like what they're doing with it. Like, the concept art was really neat. So it's very, very Palm Springs / Joshua Tree esque.
I'm love, of course, the pictures are on screen. I'm a sucker for concept art.
Yeah, me too.
Show me a render of R4 and this hypothetical Germany factory, and I will sell my house and invest in the Rivian. I love
concept. There you go.
I love concept images. I don't know what it is, but the Joshua Tree concept images are super cool. And I mean, it how it is with all the spaces, it's buying these buildings that are unused. So like the Groveland station was a gas station
beforehand. Yeah. And the really crazy thing is it sat vacant for like 30 years or however, like since the 80s, and nobody would touch it because it was a gas station in the 80s. So it had like the storage tanks under the ground, and like they were like all corroded and like leaking and stuff, and nobody wanted to pay to have it cleaned up. And so Rivian came in and they're like, we'll do it. And tore everything out, did the environmental cleanup on it, and then built the outpost.
I didn't know it was that deep. And the crazy part is people complained about it.
Whenever
these things happen, like any infrastructure, I'm very much involved in like the community that's happening. So Groveland was the first RAN outpost, and I joined Groveland's like city Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of people, like, you know, tourists and this and that. I'm like, there's so many small businesses that benefit from people coming to your city. And, you know, but there were a lot of people who were advocating like, hey, this gas station, and I didn't know it was sitting for that long, but there were people saying, hey, it's been sitting forever. And you go to Google Maps, and you can go back in the timelines of every single time the car goes by, and it's just vacant. It's just boarded up, chain link fence, white building. It's used for nothing. And Rivian comes in, and they revamp it. Same thing with Joshua Tree. It's a building that's just been left vacant, and it is just in an empty lot. They're buying it. They're restoring it, turning it into something useful, where it's not just this dilapidated property sitting there, and they're able to not only get a good deal on it because it's something that it's not in high demand, but it's also something that they can have a story about. So it was a little tangent there, but I love Rivian's got a good culture.
Yeah, I really like the fact that like when they do stuff like that, that they, like you said, they try to tell a story about or find a connection to create a story on something. So like with the Groveland Outpost, it was an old blacksmith shop back in the 1800s, and, you know, people in the gold rush and like all this stuff. And like the building is made from all of the actual wood that was the blacksmith shop, and like, you know, things like that. Then like with the Joshua Tree outpost, and, you know, I wonder what they're going to do with the Southampton one. Like, this used to be patios.com.
I wonder what it was before patio.com or patio.com designed it.
I'm sure it was something, but like, that's just really funny to think about.
Yeah, just straight. If you look on Google, it is a building with a giant letters, way too big for the building, patio.com.
Yeah.
And it'll just be a Rivian space now.
It'll just be replaced with giant Rivian letters.
Yeah, giant Rivian logos. But back talking about Southampton.
Yeah.
And this is right. I don't think we're often going to talk about all the spaces that are opening, because there are often so many spaces that are opening at one time, like San Francisco is going on, and then Rivian is now opening a space in, I've already forgotten, but it's on Long Island. And it is in a nice, like, I would say pretty wealthy area. I was on Google Maps. I couldn't really find anything about the zip code. But there's a Tesla showroom. There's no Tesla space. There's a Tesla showroom right down the road. And I was on, you know, Google Street View, and I saw a couple McLarens. And so I think that kind of solidified that this is the right market.
Yeah, that is absolutely the right market.
Yeah. We had a couple McLarens on 9/11. All right. There we go. A few Defenders. Yeah. I think this is the great, great market for Rivian. But it's currently a T-Mobile, and it's kind of like in the middle of the street, so it's kind of like two lanes, and so two roads split this way, and then right in the middle of it is this Rivian space. It's a T-Mobile. It'll turn into Rivian space, and of course, they'll do their demo drives. It's a place for people to check Rivians out. And continuing on to New York, it's Long Island, it's part of New York, the R2 and R3X and the Quad R1S are in the New York, the main New York space, because there are two New York spaces, main New York space, and it's going back again in October. So it's here September, and it's going again.
That's really interesting that they're going back. I was just going to say they're there like really early, like what is that, 2 weeks, 3 weeks early, and then they're going to go back.
I was confused at first. I didn't see it, and then I had to check their like list that they have on Instagram.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, no, they're going to New York twice.
Hmm, interesting.
Once for a New York car expo.
Got it.
Right, this one is showing at the Rivian space for those who are interested, and then it'll go to this expo where people are, of course, just passing by, and they'll.
Oh yeah, the Electrify Expo. That's right.
Is it New York?
Yeah, because it was in Seattle last weekend before, and then they go to New York, and then I think they go to Austin.
Okay, and I think it does go to Austin. I think R2 will go to Austin again for the Electrify Expo. So if it's New York, then R2 will be there again. But again, this time it's R3X and Quad.
Yep.
And I love the R3X. It's been...
It is pretty. Although that color that the R3 comes in is like really nice as well. Like I thought that was a pretty cool color.
It's a weird blue-green light gray. It's like a... Just regular R3, right? Not R3X. Yeah. It's this metallic color. But there are a few pictures that I'll put on screen of this recent image that I was doing some searching. And I love pictures of the R3 and R2 when it's just sitting and doing nothing. Like, it's not in a space. It's not on, like, a pedestal or people have view for pictures. It's, like, in a parking lot. Or it's just sitting on the side of the road somewhere. And there are a lot of pictures of this, actually, because Rivian will often take the R2 and R3X and R3 to, I don't know if they're like investor-related like groups, or, for instance, they took the R2, R3, and R3X to Georgia for a private viewing for a lot of Georgia state officials. And they went to Stanton Springs, where the new factory will be. And the R2 and R3X were there, and they were driving around. They were just parked outside this little small town, and they're just really cool pictures. I'm a sucker for also handy photos, so I just love. Again, I'm an R3 fiend. I love R2. I'm gonna get R2 when it comes out, but as soon as R3 hits the market, I'm going to get rid of my R2. I'm going to get R3, and R3X might be fine. I'm not. If I get R3, right, I would probably still have another vehicle, But if I get R3X, it's just going to be R3X, period. And
yeah, for sure. It's too small for me. Both of them are too small. My next one's going to be an R1T.
There you go.
I'm good.
We'll have Gen 3 by then. You'll get something.
Gen 3. Well, maybe Gen 4, because that'll be in 2.5 years. So.
Be a while. Yeah. So I'm imagining all of the improvements Rivian will.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
I'm fine with small cars. I drove a Ford Focus before my R1T. It's something about... I mean, how often are you carrying... I'm not carrying something in my R1T bed often. And it's nice when I have it. You know, I really love when I do. And I'm not carrying a lot of people often either. And it's convenient when I do. But most of the time, it's just me. And yeah. I do like the personal feel. And there's a reason the Model 3 is, you know, even though the Model Y is the best-selling car, it seems going to be in the U.S., which is recent news. There's a reason that Model 3 still does super well, although it's a sedan and a smaller car.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good car. The Model 3, Model Y. But, yeah, I mean, I have no need for a truck. Like, I literally, like, last week, Friday, was the first time I had ever put anything in the bed of my truck and, like, drove with it. Like, so we were talking about this before we started recording, but my company is moving out of its office this week, and so I have 6 boxes filled with like laptops that we're actually getting rid of. No, you don't want them. They're all Intel MacBooks and they're all beat up. but because we're moving out and the company that we're working with to recycle them isn't sending me the boxes to recycle them until like this week, and we're already out of the office, I had to bring them home. And so I threw all of the boxes in the back of my truck, along with 3 boxes filled with network equipment as well. So it's all living in my garage. But that was literally the first time outside of like at the Overland show where I had my tent in my bed. That was the first time I've ever put anything in the bed of my truck. That wasn't a person.
No, it wasn't a person. You had bodies back
there. Well, because people always want to climb around in it and like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Not while I was driving. The truck was parked.
Yeah, it's important.
The truck was not moving while people were climbing around in it. Disclaimer. Yeah, but yeah, but I just like I've always had like big cars. I drove Jeeps. Majority of my cars were Jeeps. I had a few Acura TLs, which are, you know, decent sized cars. I had a Model S and a Model Y, and you know, so I always. And I felt that the Model S was a decent size. The Model Y was a little small. I didn't like sitting so low to the ground. I just like being up high. Like it comes from the first like 5 or 6 cars I ever owned were Jeeps. So I was always
used to that.
Jeep Cherokee. And then I had 4 Jeep Liberties. And then I had Acuras. And then I went back to Jeep. And then I had my Model S, back to Jeep, Model Y, and now my R1T. So
it's all from experience. I'm used to the low car thing, and I can do the high car thing. But yeah, your cars are all pretty big and high up.
Yeah,
used to it. But R2 is luckily I've been lucky enough to sit in R2. It feels very R1 like. Like it just feels like I'm in a lowered R1, but it's not low, like super low. But you definitely will notice. But the cabin feels exactly the same as R1 in terms of comfort and room. And it is just a bit lower. So I wonder how you'll feel with R2 being on the lower side.
I'm gonna be really curious to see how I feel about that. I will definitely at least go sit in one. I don't know about... I mean, I'm sure it'll feel the same driving, but...
You have some, it gives you some sort of perspective of what it'll
be. Yeah, for sure.
It'll be like, it'll be a while.
I wouldn't get an R2 anyway. I don't like the SUV design.
Really?
It's too boxy for me.
Ah, that's what people love. My mom's I've been saying sucker for. She's a sucker for box vehicles. She loves G-Wagons. She loves Defenders. Not because she's a mother. She just genuinely likes boxy vehicles. She loves the Ford Raptor, the bit older one that's a little bit more boxy. And she loves the R1S because it's another boxy vehicle.
I don't like the look of it.
Wow.
Like, I don't like the side profile or the back.
You buy a steak. Steak. What, mm-hmm. what is the saying? What do you? And you. So that was pretty abrupt. What is the saying? Hold you by the steak, like a stick.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The saying. Okay, no. So when someone who, let's say like a Tesla fan, right, says something against Tesla. Pitchfork. What is?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pitchfork for saying that about R2.
Yeah, just bring him out. Like, it's fine. Like, I mean, all right, maybe I dislike it. It is not my preference. Let's go that route.
There we go.
Be less harsh. Like,
what about R3? Like the shape.
I like the design of R3. I'm more curious to drive the R3 because I want to drive the R3X, and like I want to take it someplace and just like rip it around like rally mode and just do that. Like I really want to do that with my R1, but I think it would be, as the kids up here say, hella fun to do that. Hella like fun. it just seems like that car would be like perfect to just like fun rip around and just go crazy.
Yeah, it is a rally car. I mean, reminiscent to me at least. I mean, Jeff Hammond, I'm already said I'm not good with the name.
Jeff Hammoud?
Hammoud, there you go. He said that it's inspired by the Audi Quattro, you know, which was made for, it was originally a rally vehicle, and then it had some homologation production vehicles. But yeah, it's very reminiscent of a 90s, 80s, 90s rally vehicle. And I cannot wait to rip this thing on dirt. I'm not a rally driver. I don't think I have that experience yet. So I'll have to kind of slowly, you know.
Take it on like a track. Like a dirt track, or like even just like a street track, and that's how you get into it. And then you just kind of like
slowly go up,
learn the limits. Yeah.
Do you see those videos? They're going like 80 miles an hour in.
Oh yeah.
Like these little side streets, and they drifting easy, and it's just amazing. And I want to do that in R3.
Yeah, I used to race go karts. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, like when I was like 5 or 6. So
RJ did as well. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But.
I wanted to be an F1 driver. So like I learned all that stuff, man.
Okay. Well, we'll put that on one of your we gotta have you drive an F1 car. That's now like a podcast wish list. At some point,
oh god,
get into
I'll sell it for a McLaren 720S or a P1.
720S or P1.
Yeah. Or a Senna. I'll take a Senna.
Yeah. Let's not get too far away, because last time we talked about Porsches.
Oh, yeah. No, we talked about porches, not Porsches.
Porches.
Yeah. Wait, but I promised we weren't going to talk about porches on this episode. Only patios.
Only patios? Patios. Yeah, no, that was perfect.
Now with 100% more patios.
Oh, okay. All right.
For anybody who was wondering what we're talking about, we got our first iTunes podcast store review.
Yeah.
And apparently we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about porches. And, you know, we're not talking about Rivian stuff enough. So I apologize that I mentioned McLaren.
How dare you?
And Jeep and Acura.
GM, Acura, Tesla. This podcast is over now.
Yeah, everybody's turned it off because we started talking about not Rivian. I do appreciate the fact that he did say that he was listening to it in his Rivian. So,
there you go.
Not to rip on the poor guy. Like I understand. Like you tune into a Rivian podcast, you want to hear Rivian stuff only.
Yeah,
but in the end, and this is what I've been trying to, a lot of people in the community have been trying to push this. We're all here for a common goal, and especially like in the EV space, we just want EV adoption.
Right.
In addition to that, we're all car fans, and you know, what are you going to be a fan of? What were you a fan of before EVs? What cars did you like before you owned a Rivian? What cars do you like while you own your Rivian? It's not just Rivian 100% of the time. And then, you know, it allows us to talk about things that we enjoy as well. And so it's not just Rivian 100% of the time. And you get to know us as individual people and not just a voice on a podcast.
Right.
So
I think we're doing a good job of that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll talk about Porsches because I've been seeing a lot of Taycans around lately and it's been like driving me crazy because they're all beautiful. And I saw a McLaren 720S, an orange one today. So,
lucky California guy.
Yeah, I was pulling out of the car wash and there was one driving right by me. I almost crashed into somebody because I was watching it. Anyway, we completely digressed.
Talking about fast vehicles.
Yes.
Right? With lots of horsepower, we got the Rivian Tri-Motor.
Yeah. Which
was already technically, they already had Tri-Motor stock listed, but I imagine maybe they took it off and then they did an official like release. Yeah. And now the Rivian website is all Rivian Tri-Motored up. You go there, it's the first image there. They did a bunch of posts. They even did some stories today, Tuesday, about it. And so there are Tri-Motors on the shop. They've already done some Tri-Motor deliveries. To my knowledge, Atlanta and Nashville have Tri-Motors for viewing.
Ooh.
I called Rivian today because this is another story. I'll be traveling to Boston. And I asked, I was like, hey, is the Tri-Motor at the Boston space? And he was like, no, I don't think. None of the Tri-Motors are at any of the spaces right now.
Actually,
that's not true. I had to tell.
It's available. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Rivian Roamer right now, and there are 10 Tri-Motor R1Ss in the store, and there's actually one in Chelsea. So it's in that region.
Oh yeah. Okay. I might have to. We'll see. I'm planning to meet Mike again. Names: Can Storksky, Can. Mike. His name is Mike. And if you watch Rivian YouTube, you know who he is. Faces on screen. But he lives in Boston, and I'll hopefully be able to meet him during that time. But I really just want to see the try. But 2.9 seconds 0-60, so it's a point second faster than the quad motor Gen 1 with one less motor. Up to 370 miles of range on the standard modes, and then up to 400 on conserve. And it only weighs 100 pounds more than the dual motor max pack. And it has
insane.
It has 317 more horsepower. They've added a motor and it gets 317 more horsepower. That's just 100 pounds more. I thought that was kind of like crazy. And I feel like for a gas car to add 317 horsepower, you are adding another 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's like another engine.
Yeah, that's insane, the amount of power that electric vehicles bring. But those are on the R1 shop if you're interested. Shout out Chad and Rivian Roamer. Rivian Roamer is a great resource to be able to see all of the Rivian inventory. I don't even really go on the Rivian official shop anymore. I just go to Rivian Roamer and then I get to see everything. And added on there, do you want to talk about the pre-owned Rivian shop?
Yeah, so Rivian now started selling pre-owned vehicles, and I'm actually, because I'm on Rivian Roamer right now, I'm looking in the shop, and there are actually quite a few in here. There's actually quite a few in my area, too, which is even more crazy. but yeah, right now there are 9 pre-owned, or as Rivian Roamer is calling it, pre-roamed. let's see. I can filter. So we have 5 R1Ts and 5 4 R1Ss. So there are 9 currently in the shop. None in Canada. So US only. Most of them look like they're in California. There are 3 in Chicago. All the rest are either up here in the Bay Area or in Costa Mesa and San Diego. So way south. So either way north or way south.
And it seems but, when buy them, if you click on them, it's only California and Illinois that they're available states.
Oh, that's I forgot that they're only available in But okay, I forgot
there
about
that. There was inventory elsewhere though, because when I checked, there was inventory in Texas and there was inventory in Kansas. But when you clicked on it, it wasn't available. So it was like in the, I think it was in the back page.
Yeah. But I mean, there are some really good deals. Like there is a 22 R1T in Rivian Blue for under $60,000. And it has 15,000 miles on it. It's got 20-inch wheels. It's got black interior. Oh, it was literally just added 38 minutes ago. That's so crazy. Yeah, 59,500. It's got 15,234 miles.
This is a really good deal. I wish they would add actual pictures, real pictures.
I was literally just thinking that.
Once they do that, it'd be like, all right, fully set.
But yeah, I mean, it's a launch edition. Ooh. I forgot that, like, you could see the Carfax.
Yeah, as well. And yeah, you can see the whole... Let me find...
One owner.
Free Carfax report. We kind of tell you everything.
The VIN is 889.
888. Wow.
That's very insane.
Very first, one of the first 1,000.
Yeah.
Crazy. And only 15,000 miles. Who owned this, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah, for real. Like, I mean, that's a really good deal. I would be very surprised if this truck is here tomorrow.
They had this vehicle since January of 2022. So they've had it for a while. And I say that to say, I've had my Rivian for coming up on 4 months, and I'm about to hit 6,000 miles. So I don't even feel like I drive that often. I have no commute at all. But 6,000 miles, I think, is a lot to me for 4 months. Well, compared to what other people have going on.
This is interesting. Whoever owned it, or wherever Rivian bought it from, they bought it from Montana. No, somebody. Oh. I don't know how to read these.
Sold to someone else.
Yeah, but no, there's only been one owner.
The vehicle purchase, or just, maybe it's just reported in Montana. Maybe they moved or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, they bought it in November or January. Sorry, of 22. And then they moved to Montana in September of 23. And then Rivian bought it in January of 24. Oh, no, that's the recall. Never mind. Man, I cannot read this. Oh, here we go.
But yeah,
March. Title issued or updated 322. And then, yeah, Rivian bought it in September or March. Yeah. Cool. Anyway, sorry. A total distraction.
No, I mean... Look, guys, this is live. As I say, this is live TV here, and we're
at least we're talking about Rivians.
Yeah. Whoa! Used one, 992 miles. What the hell? I'll say that fully.
Well, there's one that has 374.
Really?
The R1T right next to it in launch green, nonetheless.
Wow, 374 miles.
For 71,610.
And this vehicle was built, April of 2023. That's interesting. That is really interesting.
It's actually, that one was built after mine, because the VIN is 20184 and mine is 20100. Aw, brothers.
Yeah, well, similar. Pretty cool, though.
Yeah, mine was built in February of 2023, so that makes sense.
I didn't know they were still making the launch green that late.
I didn't think so either. Interesting.
Yeah. We'll leave Rivian Roamer down in the description for people to check out if you haven't heard of it already. But full view of all of the pre-owned inventory. You can filter everything from dual, performance, dual, tri, quad, all the different battery types, all the different paints, all the different interior options, which there are a lot of. Now that I'm looking at, seeing them all here, Rivian has a lot of options. all the different wheels and all the different packages that they have, and even what state and country they're in. So.
Yep. Cool. Yep. Shout out to Chad for putting that together. It's a fantastic site.
Chad's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Very down to earth and very straightforward and honest. And I'm glad to say I'll meet him this week. I'll meet him the day after tomorrow. So the reason I'm going to Boston, and this podcast will come out the day of, or looking to be the day of, when the first tweets come out, but I'll be joining Out of Spec and Kyle Connor on what they'll call the I-90 Surge. So we'll be taking the BMW i7, EQS, Model S Plaid, Model 3 Long Range, the 85D first gen Model S, Ioniq 6 sedan, and then an Acura sedan. I think there's one more, maybe? And a Lucid Air and a Porsche Taycan.
Yep.
And right now, the Porsche Taycan and Lucid are at Chad's house. Kyle dropped it off at his house and said, have fun with it. And I'm going to be going to Chad's house to see these in person. I really cannot wait. But it'll be a 45-plus hour drive for everyone. Some people, if you're in the first-gen Model S, it'll be a 55-hour drive from Seattle, Washington, straight on I-90, only I-90, straight to Boston, one drive, no stopping, three people per car. So it's going to be an interesting thing. And we'll be live. Kyle will be live updating it, and I'll be making my own video and live tweeting as well. So
sweet.
Follow us.
I'm so jealous that you get to do that. Not just because of who you're doing it with, but like that drive has been something I've always wanted to do also.
Yeah. I'd be more excited. I'm excited to take a little bit of a break. Currently, there's a hurricane coming to my city, and I coincidentally will be out of town the same time it's coming. But I would enjoy it more if we stopped. So we're driving through Spokane. I have friends in Spokane. I have friends in Milwaukee. I have friends in Normal, Illinois. I have friends in Indianapolis. We'll be passing through all of these cities, and we will not be stopping. And we'll near most of these. We're not going to be passing in all of them, but close enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be doing stopping. So no Yellowstone, passing around Mount Rushmore, passing Chicago, passing all these great things will not stop. So I wish it was like an actual road trip, not just like a race, but I'm excited to see who comes on top. And we've already done our calculations to see who would win, but it really just comes down to charging infrastructure, what's available. There will be a lot of random hiccups. And, you know, we're planning now. We're in the planning stage of seeing what we're doing and exactly what charging stations we're going to go to, what our charging percentage will be to. We're like finding these specific charging percentages to get us to a better station and just to cut the amount of time. And you don't know what will happen. Traffic, lines, chargers being down, people got to eat, people got to use the bathroom. But I was told we're going to have Starlink. One of the other drivers, Jordan, we'll have Starlink, and so we'll have Starlink just with a little mount. I don't know if you've seen the mount pictures, and have it stuck to the glass of. We're driving an EQS, Mercedes EQS. Haven't said that yet. I'll be in the EQS, and Prime Internet. All right, EQS is arguably one of the best EVs alongside Lucid Air and i7 in terms of luxury.
Yep,
I'm going to be sitting down, laid back. We're going to go to make a Costco run before the drive, get our snacks, and we're just going to vibe the entire road with, I think Mercedes has what is recognized? It's audio and then it's the self-driving best. I think it's just rated the best, and self hands-free, so we can just jam to this nice Berman sound system and hands off and just kind of just chill. So
That's gonna be awesome.
I'm excited for that.
It's like driving in your living room.
Yeah, it is. I've never been in EQS, so I really have no idea. I'm saying all of this like I know anything about the vehicle. But you know, it's a Mercedes. That's all you need to know.
It's a Mercedes. It's big. It's roomy.
Yeah,
yeah. It's gonna be epic, dude. Like I'm again super jealous on both fronts. What you're doing,
you'll have to come for the next one for sure. I mean,
absolutely. I would love to. That would be amazing.
it will be, we need like a full, we need to be like a Rivian road trip. Well, all of us, Rivian influencers, just standard battery pack, max, tri, quad, first gen quad, second gen quad, first gen.
It's actually not a horrible idea.
Different battery. Yeah. That'd be a pretty interesting, because look, the LFP gen 2 charges faster than the other ones, but it's got less range, and it'll be an interesting, we could probably do in California, right, where all the RANs are. It would be an interesting race in whole. But I wish there were more EVs in this race, which sounds stupid because there's already 30 people going, 3 people for 10 EVs and 1 gas car. Yeah. And no Polestar. So that was interesting. No i5 or i4 BMW, no i5. There are a few like other, I think, sedans that just aren't going out. I feel like should have been like in the sedan test, but I think maybe it's like a luxury sedan thing. The more premium and the Model 3 and the gas car are kind of like a baseline.
Yeah. I'll be really curious to hear the reasoning behind the selections of all the cars that are in that.
I'll have to ask Kyle. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool, man. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to follow along.
You'll have fun following along. I'm going to be in a car. Again, I just went on a whole tangent about how it's a Mercedes and Starlink. And I'm going to be smelly 46 hours, gas station bathrooms, no shower.
No, there's like all the truck stops have showers.
We can't stop.
You're going to be charging.
I mean, 20 minutes? I'm not going to lie. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Now this is a weird topic. I take very long showers. Don't do anything in there. I'm just in there contemplating life in the shower. Take really long showers. Now, I could take a quick shower.
I'm the same way. I'm in there for about an hour.
I just need... I water run down my back and I'm just there, just meditating.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll have enough time. We probably, you know what... Well, I'll make do. Now that you said that, the gas station bathrooms of the truckers, maybe it might be
a good idea. like a Love's or a Pilot J or whatever they have going on out there. Yeah,
something like that. I will
be okay. Just wear something on your feet.
Rock slides or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just flip flops, something. Shower shoes.
Awesome. Do you want to get into the merch? Because we got 4 new pieces of Gear Guard Gary merch.
Yeah.
And then some water bottles, which aren't really that big of a deal. It's a water bottle, but cool water bottles.
I'm excited about the Vampire Gear Guard. I thought that was absolutely adorable. And hold on, I'm trying to bring it up because I don't remember everything that they added.
Just sent some links as well.
Did you say you just sent it to me? Yeah, you did. Well, I have the shop. There we go. That's okay. What I want. Yeah. So, yeah. So, if you've ever seen the Gear Guard doll, they now have one where he's dressed up as a vampire and he has a little cape and fangs and it's adorable. There's a couple of new shirts as well, Gear Guard shirts. Which are awesome. Like a little, the pocket shirt's the new one, right? Where it's the little Gear Guard on the pocket. Yeah, and then the Gear Guard water bottle as well. So they have a 12-ounce water bottle. 12 ounces only? Am I reading that right? Oh, it's a kid's water bottle. I'm like, oh, I really want one. But then, like, this cup that I'm drinking out of is way more than 12 ounces. I'm like, they also, I don't know if anybody or if we talked about this or anything, they now have like the regular water bottles, the Compass 20 ounce water bottles in storm blue, which is really nice. And then they also have the Compass Everywhere 20 ounce bottle, which is actually really cool. It's in 3 different colors. So it's got tidal blue, clear, and cactus green. I'll take the tidal blue. That's really pretty. So it's another mirror water bottle. It's translucent, and then it's got the 3 colors, and it's only $22, which for a mirror water bottle isn't too bad. whereas the kid's 12 ounce is $30.
Nice hard metal.
Yeah, metal. With Gear Guard on it. Gear Guard Gary.
I wonder if these are hints of colors, right? Tidal blue, cactus green. Cactus green, tidal blue are kind of generic names for colors. However, I wonder if these are hints of R2 colors.
They look like Rivian colors. Just gonna say, I would love to see a car in cactus green. Yeah. That would be amazing.
It's nice light green.
Actually, you know what? Looking at it, it kind of looks like the color on the R3. Like, not the R3X, but the R3. Just going to throw that out there. That's kind of interesting.
I'm really curious to see what colors we have coming up.
Oh, and there's my favorite, the $95 compass apron. Okay, I got to stop looking through this. Yeah, so those are all the new... of course, because for the holidays as well, the Gear Guard Gary ornament.
Yeah. I didn't even think about it for the holidays. In my head, I'm thinking... Oh, you know, you put this on the mirror of your car or your keychain or something. Christmas is coming. That is
Christmas, clearly a Christmas
ornament. I never thought of that. Yeah. It says ornament. Say.
Yeah, it literally says ornament.
It should have had an image of it on a Christmas tree. Then it would have been like, duh.
Well, they can't do that. They can't do that. Because, like, technically, you don't have to put it on the Christmas tree. So. You know. And then if you don't have a Christmas tree, then when are you putting it on?
Putting it on your
Hanukkah bush.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. We got a lot of good merch. A lot of good merch. Water bottles.
Yeah, lots of new stuff. All pretty reasonably priced, more or less, except for that $30 12-ounce bottle, but that's a different story. It just goes along with the $95 apron and the $1,400 travel kitchen that you can't, or travel kitchen that you can't buy anymore. But yeah.
$300 pants, $200 pants, expensive for the pants.
Yeah, the $200 shorts, pants, whatever. Yeah.
Shout out Rivian.
Yeah. Shout out. Way to go, Rivian. Get that bag.
Yeah, $150 for these, $215 for these. You're kidding? I just in my head, like I've seen this before, but now I'm actually seeing it on the shop. That's insane.
Yeah, dude. There's like an $80 t-shirt in there too, and it's just like a white shirt with a logo on it. Like, it's a collection, like a collaboration. But come on, y'all.
What is it made of?
Officers? No, actually, like the I've seen the shirts in person. They're not that great compared to the other Rivian shirts, like the regular plain Rivian shirts. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the special shirts from like the Keep Whatever Space Adventurous. Yeah. Like, those are the best shirts. Like, I almost wore one today, but I'm like, I don't want to be that guy wearing a Rivian shirt on a Rivian podcast. I did it once and it made me very self-conscious.
I wear my Rivian shirts always. I was wearing a Rivian shirt yesterday and then the day before that, I have a lot of Rivian shirts. So it's just,
yeah, I thought it was weird that I wore my Rivian hat for that story in Groveland. I almost didn't do that.
But it works. It fit well.
It looked like I was like they gave it to me. But that is my personal hat. I bought that hat in Laguna. I have the receipt.
Get for it. My first Rivian hat was Venice, and then I got a free one in Atlanta. They were just giving out Rivian hats.
Nice.
For free.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff from the Groveland space for helping them out. Like, awesome. Brand hooked me up. Like the patch he gave to me because I didn't want the Groveland water bottle. There's another thing too. And so he's like, you have to have the patch. I'm like, all right. Oh, they have a shirt. They have a shirt with this on it. And instead of getting that shirt, I got the Keep Groveland Adventurous shirt. And he's like, because you got that shirt, you got to have the patch. I'm like, all right.
You have the shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not this shirt.
Not that, but
the Keep Groveland Adventurous. And it's actually this color, like the brown. But it's like a heather brown, which is cool.
I'll give it to Rivian, man. The attention to detail. I would say I'm inside concerned for some of the things they spend money on. I've heard some crazy stories. $1 million on M&Ms. We won't talk about that. They got $1 million worth of Rivian branded M&Ms, but again, we won't talk about that. Kind of, I want to say it's speculation, but come from a credible source. I'm kind of just going to leave that alone. But again, Rivian's attention to detail is crazy, and some of these things, I mean, the time and dedication to making these things that create forever memories and really make a new car brand iconic. Like, no offense to Tesla, but there's nothing about the brand that is, how do I say this, cultural. The Cybertruck is part of that now. I think they've done a good job with that. But there's nothing that's, like, different. That's, like, totally, like, this is new, and this is a different take on a usual experience, and I love that. I love that from Rivian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we have, I think that's primary news. There's a Rivian software update, and I'll read this from Jose's website, Rivian Tracker. Shout out to him. Yep. But before I do that, we'll go over some Rivian quick stuff. So quad motor starts at $115,000 and $115,900, according to Motor Trend, which actually isn't that bad to me, because you can spec a tri-motor up to that. So 115 isn't crazy. I can't buy that, personally. I don't have quad motor money. But
who does?
Not crazy in comparison the tri-motor. Then the Gen 2 R1S and R1T now qualify for the family and friends discount. It's kind of already passed here now. I've helped a few people out, which Rivian has went out and been like, all right, we're done. No more helping people out. They were kind of like, all of the employees, like, you have to directly know the person you're giving the discount to. And luckily, when I got my discount, I got it directly from a Rivian employee that I knew personally. But Rivian was kind of last minute stingy about that. So that's kind of passed, but it was $2,500 off the Gen 2 and $6,000 off the Gen 1. Amazing deal. It helped save $1,000 off my Rivian lease. And then there was an R1T spotted in Australia about a couple weeks ago, and then again last week. And it had specific lighting that makes me think that Rivian is going to be entering the Australian market. Unlike the European market, which smaller vehicles are hard to use, even though the Defender 110 is popular over there, R1S is a little bigger and it could present challenging. No. Let's clarify this. I think it's just the R1T that's longer. The Land Rover Defender. Hold on, 110. 110 is 180 inches. And it's up to 197. And the R1S is 200 inches. So it is longer. But it's a bigger vehicle. And Australian market isn't like that. They are also Americanized with truck culture. They have Raptors and TRXs and giant G-Wagons over there and giant trucks. And the R1T and R1S will fit right in. And so just from the plating and the light design, clearly some OEM is exploring it. And Rivian is working with Australian company MEVCO, which stands for Mining MEVCO. That's what
MEVCO.
That's what
the company is. Yeah. I don't know what it stands. I've heard of the company. I just don't know what it stands for.
I don't remember. I know M is mining, and that's...
Yeah, that's about it.
That's about it, yeah. But they're based in Australia, and Rivian is making EDVs and R1Ts for them, for that company to sell. And if they're Australian-based, I imagine maybe there's some Australian regulations that need to be met, and maybe Rivian's exploring, okay, if we're already going to be working with this Australian company, why not enter the Australian market? And I think there's enough of demand there. I was checking some of the competition. Like, I use Land Rover as the biggest example because Land Rover is in a similar price bracket to the Rivians. Also, off-brand ethos, a little more luxury. But it's a good comparison. And Tata Land Rover is, I think they're selling like 3,000 every month. So
that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
I'd be really curious to see if... they develop it like that, we'll call it a program, to include like the R2 as well, because the sport ute, as they call it down there, is really popular, and it's mainly like a Subaru Outback or whatever the their fast track or whatever the half truck half SUV is. So I think that like the R2 would fit perfectly in that and still be able to do the same things that that Subaru can do also.
R2 is Subaru competition.
Sure. Yeah. But it's really good that they found a partner to enter into a new market that doesn't have a lot of, you know, I think Tesla's the only EV that's down there, really.
If Tesla, that. BYD.
But oh, yeah, BYD. I forgot about them. Yeah.
A lot of Chinese companies.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, I think Polestar is down there, which is Chinese. But
technically, yeah.
Technically European, but
yeah,
they're... it is made in China, I think. I think the Australian version is made in China. But point being, I don't think Lucid's down there. I don't think any of those other really brands. It's really
primarily there's no real like luxury like vehicles that are capable of not just driving in the city.
Correct. Something really off road.
Considering 90% of Australia is like desert or something.
All their spiders and kangaroos, mate. Something like that.
Yeah, and Tasmanian devils. Which are actually adorable, by the way.
Let me not get sidetracked. Now I'm going to do a whole Tasmanian devil search. But
they're really cute. They're one of my favorite animals.
They look like
they're not, rats. And they're not mean. Like, you know, of course, the one I saw was at a zoo.
Probably a little different experience.
But,
I mean, they literally look like rats to me.
They're big. They're probably about this big.
Sorry, my camera. I'm on a different tab.
So what is that? Like maybe, you know, 2.5-3 feet long. Okay. They're pretty decent size.
Gigantic rat.
Yeah, basically. Anyway.
I will I have nothing else on my agenda. I typically have things written down and that was really it, other than the spaces. So I made a tweet just talking about all the Rivian spaces. So about a year ago, the only spaces that we have, and let me just open my own tweet. The only spaces that we had were Venice, Manhattan, Vancouver, and Seattle. Seattle actually just closed. And now, a year later, we have Chicago, San Francisco. We don't have
San Francisco. Not San Francisco.
San Francisco is coming. But we have Chicago, San Diego, Pasadena, Laguna, Austin, Atlanta, Yosemite, Brooklyn, Nashville, Denver, Boston. And I said Yosemite because Yosemite is a outpost, but it is technically considered a space to Rivian. Yep. Still a place to check Rivians out. But comment down below. What other places would you want to see Rivian spaces in? I'm curious. Where?
Canada.
We need more of them in Canada. Did I leave out a bunch of Canadians? Chicago? Pasadena?
I think there's only like one or two, if any. Like
Vancouver, and I think... Let me check Rivian's website, so I'm not second-guessing myself.
I would probably venture to say Vancouver and Toronto.
Toronto. Toronto would definitely be one. So there is one in Vancouver, British Columbia, but Toronto would definitely be one where I think it should. There should be one.
Yeah, any of the major cities in Canada would be excellent. I'm trying to think of where else.
To my knowledge, right, San Francisco, Miami, there is one coming to the DMV area. And another one coming to North Chicago.
I'd actually like to see an outpost in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
It's a nature national park nearby?
I don't know if there's a national... I'm sure there is because like it's Wyoming, but it's very much like the Hamptons, like that crowd will go to Jackson Hole to go skiing. And there's a lot of adventuring to do out there as well. So I think it would be a really neat place. I mean, granted, like, you know, Wyoming has like a population of like 10 people, but like
all the people passing traveling there.
Yeah, Jackson Hole is a very popular winter destination. Like, you go there for skiing, and you go there for snowboarding, and you go there on your private jet, and you know, so just a thought. But there's also a lot of farming, just like with Montana. Montana would be a great space too, because there's national parks there, and a lot of ranching and things like that too. So it would be a great place to have either an outpost or a space. I don't know. That's why they don't put me in charge of that.
There are a lot of national parks, and I mean, this is a big adventure area. I definitely think we need to see more of them. And everywhere there's a national park, everywhere there's absolutely a common like sightseeing area, I think an outpost would make, especially there's a lot of national parks where it's just lacking in charging infrastructure. And we saw what Rivian did with Yosemite. There are, I think, 40 level 2 stations in Yosemite. And when I went, there were like, I think there were 10. Some of them are out of order. Some of them are blocked. The other ones were Tesla, and they were a part of a hotel. And so they were nowhere near like the, you know, main areas that you would, public areas you would be with your EV in Yosemite. And so now, you know, Rivian has really put an emphasis on charging in some of these locations. I think an outpost would be perfect.
Well, you know, and it all started when they rolled out the network too. Like, they rolled it out in Tennessee at all the state parks in Tennessee. Like, they partnered with the Tennessee Department of Parks. I don't remember what it was. But it was while I was living there, and I was like, this is weird. Why would they do that? But then I'm also like, this is really cool that they're putting in all this charging infrastructure. And they're just, you know, the waypoint chargers, you know, or whatever they call them. And they put them in all the state parks. So, you know, they need to start doing that.
Yeah, that's some new information to me. That's really good. Partnering with state parks is definitely an easy way to just, and they'd be on board, you know.
Yeah.
EV infrastructure, bringing more EV drivers over, it's
absolutely,
it's a good idea. All right. That's all I had on my agenda. You have anything?
Cool. Yeah, I don't have very much else either. So we're at an hour and a half. It's pretty decent. Yeah. So I guess we should wrap it up.
Let's wrap this up.
Fantastic. So, fifth episode of Rivian Rundown. Big five. That's fantastic. So thanks everybody for listening. As, you know, you can always find us on all of our social media. Well, the only social media. We're on Twitter at Rivian Rundown. You can see Isaiah. I'm probably pointing to the wrong side, but he's pointing to the correct side at Rivian Updates. I'm at Zach Winnick or Wild Wattage on Instagram and YouTube. Zach Winnick on Twitter. And I'm even like looking at it, so that way I know where I'm pointing. And of course, Rivian Rundown on Twitter as well. And RivianRundown.com, which is the hub for the show. So you can download all the episodes there. When the video gets posted to YouTube, it'll show up on there as well and link out. Or you can even subscribe in your favorite podcast app of choice and just search for Rivian Rundown.
Awesome.
That was the perfect timed message sound.
Did it actually? You heard that?
Yeah.
Oh my! You know what? I'm not. That actually sent another text in early in the middle of the podcast, and I was like, "No one's gonna hear." It's just the notification on my end.
That's right. I've been getting text messages. I've been getting WhatsApp texts or messages. So
I do not disturb on for the podcast. I just turned it off, and someone was like,
"Oh, I was waiting for my girlfriend to text me that she was coming home, and she did. She's gonna be, it's gonna be spicy. When did she text me? She texted me that she was leaving. Oh, an hour and 20 minutes ago, and she's been home for a little bit. So, Well, when I got up to go close the door, that's when she got home. So,
okay,
wish me luck. No, I'll be fine. I'm gonna go make dinner and then chill out on the couch. So anyway, wrapping up the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. As always, I'm Zach.
I'm Isaiah.
And this has been Rivian Rundown. Thanks for listening. Number five is alive.